This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
We're looking now beyond policies, the new face of HR. Well, today marks International HR Day, a day dedicated to recognizing the people behind the people. Now, the professionals we're also looking at who help shape workplace culture, navigate difficult conversations, also support employee well-being, and ultimately help businesses thrive from the inside out. And in a world where work is changing faster than ever, as we well know, from AI to hybrid offices, burnout, retrenchments, shifting employee expectations, HR has become so much more than just hiring and policies. It's more about our people, purpose, and creating workplaces where human beings can actually flourish. Joining us now is Tsepiso Mofokeng to unpack the evolving role of human resources, why HR matters more than ever in 2026, and what healthy workplace culture really looks like today. Tsepiso, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Michael. Nice to meet you and the team. Happy to unpack human resources or people and culture, as they call it these days.
Great to have you on board, Tsepiso. Okay, so today we recognize International HR Day. Let's start with what this means to you personally and why it's important that we actually stop and recognize HR professionals. Let's look at it from that holistic approach.
Human resources is all about people. But the sad part, which I always say, is that we don't get recognized. So when you look at things like employee of the month, manager of the year, or stuff like that, human resources is never recognized because we always in the front wanting to recognize people. So days like this are actually important to actually sit down and see the good work that we do in the background and, you know, give props to the people that actually take employees through the life cycle of organization. Because, I mean, human resources is the first step and the last step of your life cycle as an employee.
Carry on. I thought you paused there. I'm so sorry. I just came in there very quickly.
Human resources are the first step and the last step of an employee's life cycle. In between that, we tend to, you know, forget about human resources unless there's a problem or unless you need something. So days like this are important for us also to actually get recognized that, look, this is the hard work you're doing and keep on going. So for me, it's a very important day.
Let's break that down. Let's narrow that down, rather. What do you think are the specific biggest pressures, if I can put it that way, which HR teams are facing this year?
It's, again, when you started, you said it's an evolving role with human resources. For me now, it's the new generations that's coming into the fold in the workplace. Things have changed. There's AI, there's working from home, there's young people from varsity, which the old ways of doing things don't work anymore. We need to recognize the new ways of doing things. You can't just shout at someone anymore. You know, that used to be the thing. Now you just shout at someone and then expect them to know what you're talking about or to grab the information and carry forward. That's not how things work anymore. We're evolving as human beings. We need to learn. I mean, me as someone, so I was born in the 1990s. It's hard for me, or I'm learning to actually communicate with two kids, as they call them, because they're a new generation. They do things differently, and it's something I'm learning. It's something that I'm evolving with. It's something I'm working with the management team to actually grow within, or make sure our company grows and learns how the new generation does things. So that's for me, that's the toughest role of HR these days.
It's a piece of interesting now that you mention, you brought the youth into the equation now. Let's look at company culture. Now, everyone talks about this company culture, but how can you really define it? A healthy company culture workplace, in your opinion, what does that look like?
For me, it's allowing people to express themselves. It's accepting people for who they are. Obviously, there'll always be rules and procedures within every workplace, but it's making sure that when someone wakes up in the morning, they don't dread going to work.
Right.
Obviously, most of us don't like waking up. It's just human nature. But people shouldn't hate going to work. For me, that's a healthy company culture. Yes, there's other things you can pay people a lot. You can give people more big times off and whatnot. But when someone is at work, company culture is making sure that person is actually happy to be in that role in that specific moment.
You know,
for me, that's a company culture.
Sorry, but based on what you've just outlined now, do you think then businesses in turn are adapting fast enough to these changing expectations?
Not necessarily. So a lot of companies tend to just want to pay more. And in the human resources world, we know that monetary benefits is just a short-term incentive. You get happy for those couple of months, but then again you fall to the I hate my work, I hate my job, so a lot of companies are not actually evolving fast enough, especially in South Africa. I mean, when you look at the rest of the world, for example, things are changing. Like I'm saying, there's AI, there's working from home. We slow in doing that. There's this 4 days working week now in some parts of the world. We're not going to get there anytime soon. So companies in SA are not evolving fast enough for the current working world.
Something we've featured on the show recently and quite often is the issue of AI. And I'm just curious, how is that changing recruitment, performance management, and employee relations? What role is that playing? Is it beneficial? Is it perhaps alleviating what we've discussed up to this point?
There's two ways to AI. From an HR perspective, it's helping in terms of making my role a bit quicker. Obviously, when you look at, for example, the recruitment side. The recruitment side can tell me which candidates are actually better equipped for the job. You know, it gives me rating, it gives me so from that side it's important. But the other side of it is that people don't really want to work anymore. People will look at ChatGPT. You ask someone to do a presentation, they just go to ChatGPT, hey, type this, do this for me, and then that's it, that's a presentation. So that's the problem with AI. Yes, it's important, it makes the job more efficient, it works, but people tend to not want to think anymore, which doesn't really help the workplace, because if you're not equipped to think for yourself, then why are you in the role? That's what we say.
Interesting you should say that, because it was leading me to my next question regarding leadership and employees, the relationship there. And in your experience, what then do you see as the biggest mistake that leaders make when it comes to managing people?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. It's not understanding it brings me back to the difference between the youth that are coming into the organization and the old ways of doing things. Obviously, a lot of leaders right now are people from the 90s. You know, so it's when you look. I like recruiting young people, so I've seen that. When they come into work, instead of learning how the new generation does things, the managers tend to just be resistant. Like, no, this is how you do things, and you're going to do it how we do it. Going to do it how it's always been done, or you're out. So that's the problem that leaders tend to make, not wanting to adapt to new ways of doing things. And it's a work in progress. Look, it won't change overnight, but we're hopeful that it will change as things go.
Interesting. Twice now you've mentioned traditional situations where, in terms of earlier on, you mentioned how the world is progressing and we still need to catch up and we still work in progress. Now, as an HR specialist, have you observed many workplaces up till now? And if so, have you noted any noticeable, shall we say, endeavors to change such practices within the workplace? Are we at least seeing something tangible, seeing something, you know, meaningful?
Yeah, look, I've worked in three industries, so banking and then retail and now hospitality.
Right.
I would say banking is the one that's more progressive. Be that maybe because it's huge organizations that operate around the world, so that they quicker to in terms of adaptation. Mm. Retail, that's for me, that's the slowest because that's the industry that tends to stick to either you do it this way or you're out. We don't care what you think. You're just an employee here. So retail for me was the most resistant. Hospitality is especially when you work for an international brand, yes, they do try to, you know, set international standards, but we're still operating in South Africa. So it's quite slower than banking. But banking for me is the industry that actually tries to change at a quicker pace to the world than any other industry I've worked for, at least.
Tsepiso, as we begin to wrap up our conversation, for those listening in who may feel unhappy, undervalued, disconnected at work, what advice would you give them about navigating workplace challenges in a healthy, meaningful way?
Speak to your leaders. What tends to happen is that people will go on social media and say, "I hate my job. I don't like this manager." But you've never had a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. We a lot of companies have employee engagement surveys. A person didn't say anything the whole year, and then during the employee survey, you see the score is low. Like, but why? When you haven't had a conversation with me. So I'd say the first step is speak to your managers, speak to your leaders, try and understand where they're coming from. They'll try and understand where you're coming from, and you'll find a middle ground. Unfortunately, life will never be perfect. That's something that we must learn. But have those conversations, have those tough conversations. You're unhappy about your salary. Actually go to your manager and speak and find out, you know, why am I earning this much? Then you get their perspective of, okay, this is the budget. Unfortunately, I can't go higher. Oh, hey, I can go higher. There is a budget here. So have those conversations. Don't just die in yourself and just think, no, I don't like my job. They're underpaying me. Go to social media and complain. Have those conversations with your leaders. That's the first step and most important.
As we observe International HR Day, what message would you like to leave with HR professionals across the country who often do the work behind the scenes without much recognition? What would you like to say there?
Keep on going. To my fellow colleagues, keep on going. You are one of the most important role players in business, not only when it comes to the strategic side of things in terms of seeing how many staff is needed, doing budgeting with your management team, but the employees see the importance you do in the workplace. They actually rely on you to navigate the workplace. So keep on doing what you're doing. You may not get recognized in the old-fashioned sense, but everyone sees how you work and they appreciate it.
Tsepiso, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the Afternoon Brief in recognition of International HR Day, reminding us that behind every successful company are people. Behind those people are the HR professionals, as we've unpacked, helping build healthier, stronger, and more human workplaces. Once again, Tsepiso, thank you so much for your time and insights today.